It's like Home Alone with a dog. We saw The Dog Who Saved Christmas, so you know what that means. The holiday season is upon us, and what better way to celebrate than the 2009 classic, The Dog Who Saved Christmas. A movie that will make you hate the holidays. It is like a really bad episode of The King of Queens. It's like the stand-ins for The King of Queens shot an episode after hours that like an audience member wrote. And this movie, wow, I've never taken more notes ever. I had 5 pages of notes and 40 minutes left. I'm glad that we're here to Ignite, to talk about it, because I need someone to validate that what I saw was real. And you will all do that. But here's the most important part. I will not be doing it alone. We will not be doing it alone. We'll be doing it with my co-host. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Jason Manzoukas.
What's up, jerks? Chicago, how we feeling? That's right. That's right.
Jason, The Dog Who Saved Christmas, just like a reaction to what you saw, just a general
I'll be honest, I think we need to start the podcast as soon as possible. It is already fading into dust in my mind.
And the roar of the crowd that you've just heard.
We have to get started.
For June Diane Raphael. Give it up for June.
We have to get started.
Welcome, June. How are you?
I'm okay, Paul. I'm okay.
I knew that we were on limited time because I knew you needed to get out here too.
What's that?
I said I knew we were on limited time because I knew you had to get out here too to talk about this movie.
Thank you. I was waiting backstage.
I just wanted to give a nice, clean, you know, introduction to you. That's all.
So Paul, when we were watching the movie, he stopped it at one point.
Just out of curiosity, said, were you watching it together? Because it's important to... Okay, thank you.
We were. But as we were watching the movie, he said, this movie is about dog trauma. And I said, it really is. And Paul and I have both experienced a lot of dog trauma in the last, I would say, like, honestly, year.
We've had a lot of dog trauma.
We've had a lot of dog trauma. And yet, I could not emotionally connect to a thing that was happening in this movie. It was like I was dead. Like, I kept on asking myself, do you feel? Do you bleed? Do you...
I have nothing. I would believe it if you told me that wasn't a real dog.
I don't feel anything.
If you told me that was a sack of potatoes.
I didn't feel anything for the dog. I didn't feel anything for Bobo Kevin James.
I wrote it. I have the same note. Holy shit.
I was like, this is trying to be Kevin James. Guess what I found out?
It's his brother.
It's his real life brother.
Is it real?
Yes. Who was also on The King of Queens
for
9 years.
This
9 years.
This feels like a movie that the Russians made. That's like, that somehow is tricking us. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like somehow it's anti-American propaganda that this, they're showing there to people to be like, this is what they're doing.
It's like one of those like videos that you see on like TikTok where it's like 5 minute like hobbies or what, you know, like 5 minute crafts. It's like someone like saw a Christmas movie. It's like, oh, I can do that.
Here's the thing. I felt watching this movie, having just now spent however many months inside of myriad work stoppages for all these unions and all this discussion, let AI make these movies. AI could do a better job. Let AI, AI that saved Christmas, do it, please.
Here's what I will say. This is, to your point, like the Russian propaganda you're talking about, this is the uncanny valley.
When it's they like, when showed you the bloopers, the bloopers almost made me kill myself. And I'm not kidding. The bloopers pushed me to a breaking point.
I know.
Because I was like, none of this is funny.
When?
None of this is funny. This is forced.
I disagree that a human fart.
Okay. Joey Coco Diaz. Give it up for Joey Coco Diaz. Who is doing the Lord's work in this. The Lord's work in a movie that I wish AI had created. But yes, that real fart was funny. But the rest of the bloopers honestly gave me a panic attack.
Me too, because, you know, it. And sometimes I have found this in my own experience working as an actress in Hollywood, that the more fun people are having on set, like, the less funny a movie's going to be. Like, the more good times we're having. And I did say this to Paul, because we kept on going to the League. Shout out the League. We can talk about it now.
Chicago, Gibson's.
We kept on going to the League rap parties. And at the rap parties every year, I don't know if you remember this, Jason, but they would show a blooper reel of all the actors just cutting up, making each other laugh, going off on riffs, improvising together, and just making each other laugh. And in every year I'd watch this reel, and Paul would never be in it. Like,
stone
he
face.
Wouldn't have a... He would always... People would be breaking, and he'd be...
Waiting to get back to work.
Just waiting. And I said, Paul, this rap party is for the crew to and for the other actors, like, to remind ourselves what a good time we have together. And you look like you hate being there.
And I said, no, I just don't break up on set that much. And June's like, well, you have to do better. So... If you look at the DVDs or whatever, the extras, seasons 5, 6, and 7, I fake laugh in all the bloopers.
He had to. I was like, you have to.
I'm like, I guess I have to.
Wait a minute. We're in bloopers together. That's a fake laugh?
It's fake. It's all fake.
I didn't break you?
Great.
I'll put you back on the list. I will break you. A lot of Russian stuff tonight.
It wasn't to me like, this isn't funny. I just never... Like, we performed on stage a bunch. And it's like, I'm just built to be.
And
like,
I don't make you laugh there either?
No.
No, but like in those
no
scenes.
No wonder I haven't been on Aunt's Pool.
So the movie is about dog trauma, and yet, like, none of us could connect emotionally to it.
It's a PTSDD.
It is. But what's so hard is I never understood, why doesn't she want a dog? Why does he want a dog? Why can't the dog stay here? Why do they want a dog to bark?
Why is that the sum total of its value?
Why are we creating a problem that does not exist? Right? It's like, it's an impossibility. It's like, they get the perfect dog, but it doesn't bark.
But here's the thing. They're nervous about the rash of Wet Bandit-style robberies. Midday robberies in the same neighborhood. They live in a quote-unquote mansion. I loved every minute of it. Dean Cain, right? Dean Cain?
Yes.
And Joey Coco Diaz are the Wet Bandits. And
I mean, truly the Wet Bandits.
When this movie turned into Home Alone starring a dog, I was like, okay, I guess I'll jump out the window of this hotel when I realized that police had surrounded all of this city. And I was like, uh-oh, they know. What do they know?
Here's what I will say about those Wet Bandits. And again, that's the plot of the movie, is that they're convinced it has to be a child, but it's a dog. At one point, you know, Joey Coco Diaz says, look, they're leaving. They're going somewhere. Okay, they're going somewhere. And then Dean Cain's like, this will make it so much easier. Which was the most, fuck. Was this supposed to be like a home invasion?
Yeah.
Like,
if they were there, it's a funny games.
Yeah.
Dean Cain is ready to funny games Kevin James's brother. Straight up.
I know.
That's what was so scary. And then when they get to the house and the front door, they seemingly have no plan. It's like they like to rob.
I'm going to say this. When they're in the house, they have no plan.
Yeah.
They're not stealing. They're in the house for hours. And Joey Coco Diaz steals two sandwiches. Two bites of two sandwiches. Not even full sandwiches.
They seem like they're aspirational criminals. Because at one point they go, we've been casing this house for days. But why? Because when you look in that house, there's nothing of value in there. That house
is a shithole. It's an absolute
the worst Airbnb rental you could possibly get.
I feel like the movie was decorated from a yard sale or a flea market. Everything in there was disgusting.
It was disgusting. There's mice. It's disgusting.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There are white mice. There are laboratory mice the house.
It's crazy.
White mice, I don't think, exist out in the wild like that.
I've never seen
them.
I hope I never do. Two of them. And when we Cut it out. That's a cut point.
Cut that out. I don't want people knowing what I said about white mice.
Mindy Sterling's in this movie, and I love her so much. She is, she's so incredible. And I saw her in this movie, and then I saw her in the blooper reels, and she seemed like she was having a good time. But I was so distressed
if
to see her.
If that check cashes, you're having a great time.
I was so distressed to see her. But when we go to Grandma's house, Mindy Sterling, and we're going to talk about, like, the age ranges of, like, the age.
I looked it up. Everyone's 37.
Okay.
From the youngest kid to the oldest adult, they're all 37.
What I will say about this first of all, never have a brother and sister together that are that far apart in age and are seemingly, like, always together, engaging and interested in the same stuff. Like,
but they also have that kind of weird childhood thing. I wrote this down, and this is something I wrote down. I'm like, Paul, don't say this. It's not going to get a laugh, but I'm going to say it. And this is like, he says to his parents when they're driving, when are we going to get there? Which is an odd thing to say. It's like, are we there yet? How long till we get there? But when are we going to get there? It's like, it's just like weird translations. It's like, that's the right
idea.
Question for a kid. But I've never heard him. When are we going to get there?
Well, then
I don't know why I believe it
if you said, the screenplay was written in a different language and then Google translated to English.
That's what it felt
Actually, it would make a lot more sense to. The movie would make more sense if in any way, shape, or form it was built off of AI, generated from a different language, from another world, part of a sentence that these people are forced to carry out.
This is like that movie,
they
The Specialist.
Feel under duress.
I think the reason why this movie gets started on the wrong foot, and the reason why we have a hard time connecting, is because we start off with the dog in voiceover. And Mario Lopez is the dog. And
King of Christmas.
Mario Lopez is all the dogs.
What? Did not realize that.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. I didn't look it up, but I think... I'm
what?
Almost positive. I think he's doing the voice of all of those
Wait
dogs.
A second. Can you play clip 5?
Hey, boys. What's happening?
Look at what we got here, fellas. A newbie.
That's
My name's
Mario
Zeus,
Lopez.
Like the Greek god.
Wow. Fancy name for a street dog.
Yeah, fancy name.
That's
not Mario Lopez.
Yes, it is.
You're going to
it's
be
Mario
here
Lopez.
A long time,
Mario Lopez
so I suggest
is not...
you find things to occupy yourself with.
Don't worry about me, sweetie. I'll be fine. I used to be a cop.
Yeah, right.
I used to save people's lives for a living.
Really? Tell us. Tell us.
One time I rescued this steel mill worker from a fiery inferno. And he told me...
Thank you. Thank you. Saved my life.
So what are you doing here, then?
That's a long story. I'm just waiting for a family to take me home and give me a chance.
Oh, sure. And my new owner is gonna ride in on his white horse and whisk me away to a place where milk bones are gold-plated.
It's not Mario Lopez, June. We can cut it.
We're now just watching the movie together. And I'll be honest, I mean, mere hours ago I was watching this, none of this familiar. Zero. It's already gone.
I was surprised at how much I forgot. But here's what I'll say. My point, again, is that our lead-in, and if he played all the dogs or not, which I don't think he did.
Well,
our
let's check.
Okay. Our lead-in.
I feel like one of these nerds would know. Is Mario Lopez the voice of all the dogs?
No.
Thank you, nerds.
There's a couple people who said yes, and I appreciate you. But you're wrong, and I like that you support June so wholeheartedly.
But here's the challenge. If June, you are in fact wrong, Mario Lopez, do the right thing and send us a clip of all the voices done by you.
Give us the Snyder cut of the dog who saved Christmas.
When I watched this, I was like, oh, that's fun. They had him in the booth for Zeus, obviously. And then they let him just... fuck around a little bit and do all the other
roles. Yeah, let me just say one thing I just want to say about him
in
this voice. Again, I think the reason why we don't connect is because when you open this movie, Mario Lopez is screaming voiceover. And it was shocking that he was a dog. He's like, hey, what's going on? Anyway, Christmas is the best time of year. I was like, oh, okay. And then it was like a dog. I was like, a dog? It unnerved me because, first of all, I think first, I've never heard anyone yell voiceover. Voiceover normally is more contemplative. It's quiet. It's not like proscenium acting. And
yeah,
and
I strong felt like, disagree, but okay.
But I felt like that beginning put me on the wrong foot. I didn't like this dog.
It also sets up a much different movie.
Yes.
It sets up a much different movie. The bombast of this character, it also felt to me jarringly like a movie I barely remember, but which is Eric Roberts voicing a cat that we did.
A talking cat.
It gave me those vibes,
too. I have no memory of that.
But here's the thing. So Mario Lopez, he's Zeus, and he's just wandering around the streets, and he's like, well, I guess I'll turn myself in. So, like, he turns himself into the pound in hopes that a family will find him and rescue him. Meanwhile, what's really fascinating to me is that the guy who runs the pound or the animal shelter or whatever is able to know all of the dogs' actual names. Zeus, the Bronx, and they identify as Zeus and the Bronx. So does he understand dogs?
Not only does he know their names,
does he
know their backstories.
Does he speak dog at one point?
Who
speaks dog?
Somebody speaks,
right?
I believe that guy, and this is my fan fiction.
This is your headcanon?
This is my, like, is that... In another Lifetime movie, he is a dog who becomes a dog catcher.
Ooh.
And so we're watching like a little MCU of like, oh, if you know the backstory, he's actually a dog. Because no human would be as weird as he is.
Yeah.
He is like, and this is an old reference.
I love this pitch.
Oh, I mean, I'm ready to see the backstory.
He was a dog and he's the dog who became... The dog catcher, and now he's like trying to get all the dogs that are in dog prison to find good homes.
And to a certain point, he's a terrible dog catcher. He's like, would you take 2 for 1? Like they're cans of soup. And of course not. Would you take 2 for 1? And then in the outtakes, he said, would you take a half a dog with two legs.
I thought he was funny.
I mean, look,
I will say the majority of this movie seemed largely poorly improvised.
Yes.
In a way that, and it seemed to get more so as it went on, so much so that I was like, at the end of the movie, I was like, I feel like they're just loose improvising, half takes, and they're printing that, and that's it.
But like that line where Joey Coco Diaz says, you got that, he said, no, I don't need a nose job, which seemed like an improvised moment.
Big time.
Right, because Gene Kane, attractive man, on the outside, on the inside, not so much. He says, you need a nose job. That's a joke, right? Okay, I get that. He's like, no, I don't need a nose job. I have a deviated septum. And then he says, in your living room or something about your house? And then yeah. Dean Cain says, yes.
Yeah. Yep. I wrote that one, too. The other one that I wrote was...
Improv is about saying yes. Yeah. We've all learned that.
The other one I wrote was, yes. At the end of the movie, they come into the house, the robbers have been caught and everything, and I can't remember what the main woman's name is, but she comes in and
Belinda.
Says, oh, George, what is it?
Belinda.
Belinda, thank you. Belinda comes in and says, oh, George, look at this mess. And he says, well, you know, we got robbed, so this is what it's going to look like.
And
these are the lines?
And you then know? I'm going to go back, I'm going to go back to the beginning, and we can unpack this moment as much as we want. But when Goldman's Chinese food comes in.
Wow. This was wild stuff.
This was tough.
The Jewish delivery man. This is a commentary on... There's so much
What's
to unpack.
What's it a commentary on? I would love to try and figure out... Okay. What is this commentary on?
First of all, I think that this movie... this movie does not like anyone or understand anyone who doesn't celebrate Christmas. Because at the minute it was like, why does that woman not have Christmas lights up? And the only reason is that she's a Scrooge.
Also?
Not that she doesn't celebrate Christmas. That's not even in the equation. It's like, she must hate Christmas.
And also, every single person in the movie, including the robbers, believes in Santa. Full stop. Adults? Alone with each other, speak with absolute certainty as to the existence and scheduling of Santa's arrival. At which point I was like, no, this isn't a world that exists.
I didn't have a problem with that part.
I think that is done because they know that kids are going to sneak in to watch these, like, you know,
but
these Hallmark.
But Dean Cain and Joey Diaz being like, well, what if Santa comes? Well, he doesn't come until later. I was like, hang on. Guys, I have an update. This guy's not coming at all. These poor robbers think Santa is real.
When, I will say this, that opening, we're talking about the poor improv in the film, and improv is hard, you know, whatever. But
no, it's not.
When
Chicago, where improv started, the annoyance, Second City, Improv Olympic.
Yes,
that's
yes,
right.
Yes.
So Del Close, Sharna did it here.
So when Goldman's
TJ
Chinese,
and Dave,
Jack McBrayer.
Boo!
When that man comes in, and I don't even want to deal with that just yet. But when that man comes in and goes, you know, nice woman, and you know, it's like, oh yeah, I'm talking about your wife. The immediate response from Bobo Kevin James is, she's kosher, which was another disturbing. What does that mean?
I didn't understand any of it, and I
and was
hated
he offering
every bit
her
of it.
To him?
She's kosher.
Because yeah. It did feel like he was branding her like meat, not like...
Not dairy?
Oh, sorry, yes.
Or I guess it's not a mix of the two?
I just felt like he wasn't saying like it's like it's kosher, like when you say like it's all okay. I felt like he was like, no. You can eat her. Like, and that's what I took it as. It wasn't like she's cool. It was like, you can eat her as a Jewish man.
Yeah. It would have been worse if he was like, don't even go there, bro. She's Trafe. Okay, Jews of Chicago.
Okay, and this is my other issue with this movie. Ultimately, it's a Christmas movie clearly shot in California. They are forcing these people into hats and jackets and on the sunniest of all days. And in the most, it is beautiful. Foliage is out, you know, and this means nothing to most people, but this was shot in Los Angeles, and the opening sequence was shot in a mall that is very known in L.A. It's called The Grove. But it's also really badly shot. Like, it felt like they're like, oh, shit. Send that intern out with his iPhone and just grab a bunch of shots from the mall. We'll use it in something. It's too dark. And then when they shot stuff, like, there's just, like, an empty chair and, like, two dudes standing around a chair. And there's, like, a candy cane near them. It's like, this doesn't really connote Christmas to me. It just feels like you shot an abandoned shopping mall.
That's what's so upsetting about this movie in general. Like, two things that I love, dogs and Christmas, I now hate. Like, I hated all of the Christmas lights, the Christmas ornaments, things that bring me so much comfort and joy.
Christmas was not present in this
and
movie.
And by the way, for a movie where adults believe in Santa and everybody believes in Santa, where the fuck was Santa? Where was Santa?
You don't need Santa when the dog Zeus is there saving Christmas.
There were footsteps at one point on the roof.
There were.
Was that Zeus?
I believe so.
How did Zeus get on the roof?
I don't know. I think that's when he was putting the bowling balls in action. I don't know.
By the way,
Zeus is up to some straight craziness in this
movie.
I
don't mean to be.
Oh boy.
A dog pervert.
Okay.
Please don't be, Paul.
But
is something only a dog pervert says? I will say the most chemistry in the movie is not quite Kevin James and the dog having a bath together.
Oh, wait.
Like, that is the most compelling romantic narrative in the movie.
That
and the presumption is the married couple fuck.
There's so much. I want to get everyone's opinion here. I don't mean to be a dog pervert. Like, I said that, so we're cool. Zeus is a lady. And almost aggressively so. Like even just an eye check. I don't need to check underneath. I'm like,
put
I got
your fingers
it.
Down, first of all.
Yeah. Why? Like
put
that?
Your fingers
you
down.
You know what? I believed you when you said I don't mean to be a dog pervert until every physical
that.
Motion.
You were like that.
These are the physical motions of a dog pervert. That's the t-shirt. It's Paul Scheer doing this, and it says, I'm not a dog pervert. Chicago, how did this get made? 2023. That's the shirt.
But
I don't like that at all. I mean, that's definitely,
that.
That is trying.
I didn't care for that one
that,
bit,
this
Paul.
Is definitely trying to get the dog's G-spot. I don't know what you're up to, but that's what that is. This dog's gonna squirt.
I'm so upset.
Hear me out, Chicago.
That's the shirt.
Hear me out, Chicago.
This dog's gonna squirt.
Chicago.
All right. You brought up the bath scene, which I think is one of the most disturbing sequences in this
in
film.
In cinema history? In cinema history?
Let's take a look at scene 6.
I don't want to, Paul.
I mean,
watch it, you creeps.
We're going to take it one step at a time. This is a little awkward, George, don't you think?
Yeah, there we go, Juicy.
The dog does not want to be there.
What are they doing?
The dog is the most looking away.
The most damning moment comes in just a second.
It's
when the dog puts its head down.
Men of the house.
Here it goes.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Ooh.
Dog's like,
you know what it's like to be a man?
He's trying to hold his arm up so he can get the dog's head in frame.
Besides Ben,
Dog does not want to be in that tub.
Dog is like, I'm going to drown myself. The dog is trying to drown itself.
You're going to be able to bark. I couldn't talk till I was 6, which is like 42 in your years.
Okay.
This is, he's talked in this scene to the dog more than he's talked to his wife in the entire movie.
Has anyone, okay, you can kill that. Has anyone ever taken all their clothes off and gotten in a bath with their dog?
No, I'm not going to lie. When I saw that, I was like, like that, I was like, oh, I've never.
What though? What does that mean?
I was like, that would be a nice experience to have with a dog.
Oh, okay.
But.
So you're saying that seems attractive, not like, that looks good.
Not at all.
Okay.
Just like, oh, if I had to give a dog a bath. I've only given dogs baths outside in our driveway, but that's that seems... Well,
which you do every Saturday. You just give dogs baths every
Saturday.
Any
dog that's walking by, I offer a bath.
Hey, hey, can I give that dog a bath?
Free dog baths. But I will say this. Not as a dog pervert, but you have too much valuable bits there that I feel like a paw can stomp on, or like I need some more protection. I mean, look, I don't expect the dog not to understand that. So, or I expect, you know, it's like, I just feel like, why are you subjecting your own body to scratches? Everything.
Yeah,
you're too vulnerable. Like, I mean, put them in a little tub. We had a little tub in our driveway. Do it up. You can wash them down.
You don't need to be in. That is a choice of desire.
Yes.
Not necessity.
Yes.
That isn't. It would make sense to be there so that I can wash the dog. Okay. No. That is. I want to be in tub with dog.
I know.
I am. Me and too. With dog. We are both tub now. Yay! I'm talking to the dog.
And I will say, there's something about Zeus where. I didn't connect with Zeus on the screen. I didn't feel... The dog itself. I didn't feel what Zeus was feeling. And except for this scene where I was like, get Zeus out. Zeus doesn't want to be there. Zeus is not looking Bobo Kevin James in the eye. Zeus is looking away. Zeus is trying to kindly relay that she wants to go now.
This guy is forcing himself on a lot of people. And I don't even, like, I felt like he was trying to lip kiss this wife multiple times, and she's like, cheek.
I did too. Cheek. He's cheek, please.
He's also, I think, either it's improvising or maybe it is part of the script, but he's improvising and trying to put onto the dog the traumas of his character's youth.
Oh,
which, by the way, though, Jason, what happened to him
Who
in that dog?
Who knows?
Did the dog, did Duke...
He had to put his dog down. But it seemed
why?
Like,
because when we see that scene where he says he's playing with Duke or whatever that dog's name is, and in the flashback, and then his mom calls him in for dinner and says, stop playing with Duke. I'm like, well, what? Did Duke run out and get hit by a car? What happened?
The backstory
is...
Oh, go ahead.
The Zeus is like, he says, he's the spitting image of my dog. And in this scene, we weren't listening to it, but he's having some sort of like heart to heart with like his own both of them are traumatized. And we are to believe through the events of this movie, healed? They are healed?
And their backstories are fuzzy. Their backstories are fuzzy. It's like, this dog doesn't bark because he blew a 6 year or six
five.
Five year
five
undercover
year five.
Operation, and his partner's trigger finger was injured and he can't
shoot straight
anymore. Now, why do I know that? Why do I know that? Why do I care?
I had so many feelings about that. I'm like, the fact that they didn't kill a cop was... It felt like very strategic and pointed. Like, why was that backstory so?
I
just
also
neutral?
Don't understand how a dog could blow a 5 year
by
barking.
Year,
by barking.
But I mean, but by barking. But like the dog isn't wearing. Okay, but
listen.
How?
Internal affairs is investigating the dog. IA is on it.
And first of all, I thought German Shepherds were police dogs.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm not... I was
not a golden retriever.
A golden retriever is a police dog.
This dog is straight up dumb and is absolutely not a police dog.
I don't think golden retrievers are appropriate for this task, but yeah, the dog barked.
But what was going on? But what was going on? Like, was the 5-year undercover operation simply that they were behind a wall the entire time?
Paul, you've
with
got
a live dog, and then the dog
now,
by barking.
You've got to read the expose in Canine Quarterly. They blew this whole thing wide open.
What I wanted to see was one of those cops get killed, and our dog have to, like, lap up the blood
absolutely
off of a badge.
Absolutely.
And really understand if why this is so traumatizing.
Everybody should get killed.
Everybody
except
should have
the
been
dog.
Killed. And the dog, honestly, Zeus should have been shot, too.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Zeus
for that to work.
In the throat.
But in a movie, think of how good the movie would have been if it started with that shootout and Zeus barks.
Great.
All the cops are dying, and as they're dying, they're saying, but will Santa know where I am this year? Because I believe in Santa, even though I'm a police officer dying in the line of duty. I still believe in Santa.
And he goes, ho, 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 you get coal for Christmas.
Joey's Cocotilla says, I don't want coal in my stocking again this year.
Again?
That means he got it last year from Santa?
I also had an issue with the dog's behavior because Zeus shows us no bad behavior. He seems like a perfect dog this mom does not really want around. Then he makes one fatal mistake, which I would argue was a blessing, destroying that disgusting gingerbread house. That was terrible. Normally when I see a movie, I'm like, oh my God, how did they make that gingerbread house? I could never do that. Here, I'm like, I could do a better job. It was structurally unsound to begin with. You don't put a giant Hershey Kiss on such a narrow footing. It was doomed to break. And yes, the dog may have just, you know, gotten that, but for him to be given away because he just moved in the house, and then that seems like it set off a chain of events where he just became a bad dog.
I have a question for you, because the whole family seems to genuinely fall immediately in love with the dog.
Except the mom.
Begrudgingly, the mom begrudgingly. And she's, but you know, she still, I think, has a real love for the dog, but it needs to bark, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so they hire a man to, in the middle of the day, break into the house using what I can only describe as Looney Tunes techniques. Using the old stake over there. I'm in. And he's like, well, she failed the test. Who is this? What is this service?
I thought that was the burglar doing a first attempt.
I thought so too. And it's not. Is this a service that someone provides?
Let me just tell you that Paul had sort of checked out at that point in the movie. And he was just on his phone responding to emails and stuff. And that scene happened. And then Paul just wasn't watching. And he was like, who was that?
Yeah.
And well, I was like, and I was watching, and I said, I don't know.
Well,
said,
is,
who,
this
was
is a,
who was it? Who was it? Who'd they hire?
Because, to June's point, she's right. I was confused. But this is a weird movie where nothing is happening, but if you turn away for a second, so much goes on. And it's a weird thing. I'm like, how did so much happen? Because so much is just dropped in. You're like, wait. Why do they not want it? How did they get this house? What's going on? Like, they want the dog out by Christmas Eve? Bring it back by Christmas Eve? Like, decisions are made quick.
They also decide we're getting rid of the dog. And then they're like, we got to go to grandma's. Leave the dog here. We'll go to grandma's. Then the dog is home alone so they can have a home alone plot. But then they come home and the dog's captured the things. But when were they getting rid of the dog? Why even say you're getting rid of the dog? None of that even seems to matter whatsoever. Well, there are also, we haven't discussed at all, there are so many point of view shots from the dog. And also from the inside of the toilet, from inside the fridge.
The toilet
POV.
But
the POV shots are themselves so crazy because they're all just everybody reacting just to the camera, like, and touching around the camera's lens, but not quite the camera, as if, Like, I think the dog and the humans only worked for 4 hours one day.
Yes.
Everything else is human shot, dog shot. Human shot, dog shot.
They had to do something weird, and to me, you understand how hard it is to work with a dog when you see what they have to do later in the movie, which is, it's Christmas Eve, the family has gathered. Okay, I want to just go through this slowly. At the grandma's house, and he is reading Canine Quarterly or Canine Monthly.
Which he has brought from home.
Right.
A magazine that is established in the other house.
Okay, so
but
he's
it's
brought
also
that
like,
home.
If you, when did he order it? Because it seems like the movie takes place over the course of 2 days.
I also want to say, and this is really weird, the magazine seems real because the back page has an advertisement for like wall clippers.
Yes.
And I was like, is it possible this is a real magazine?
Oh, I'm sure.
And I had a crisis of faith.
Well, I was dealing with that, but everything left my mind when I saw the TV show that the two kids were watching. Those two kids on Christmas Eve are watching a black and white TV show called Chappie, which is like a Lassie ripoff. And it just is so incongruous. Like, I was like, Chappie. And everyone knows, like, oh, Chappie's on. Like, and they're watching it.
Wait, you didn't spend every Christmas Eve watching Chappie? Are you saying Chappie?
Chappie.
Chappie, and not the Neil Blomkamp movie, Chappie.
I know. Well, that's what I thought. But no, it's a black and white dog show called Chappie, and I felt like they were like, we can't shoot any fucking more dogs. Like, look, can you
this
find some black and white footage?
It's got to be a free, like a royalty-free public domain. It's why
like
they...
Like Reefer Madness
at the
and
end
this,
of the movie,
like,
what do they sing? What Christmas carol do they sing? Oh. That they sing no, nothing but the chorus.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
And we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Again,
we wish you a Merry Christmas. I was like, wait.
Honestly, the family singing that to the townspeople and them singing it back and then the family singing it back to them truly was one of the most frightening things I've ever seen. I was like, this is terrifying to watch.
It feels like a prompt that is meant to further put you into a hypnotic state.
It was psychotic.
You have been captured by Russia.
You know what? There's so much here to unpack, but I think it's unfair that we don't
let you. We can't go to the audience. Really? Already?
Already?
I mean, I have like 700,000 more notes, but absolutely we can go to the audience.
I think we should go and just
start. Suffice it to say, you don't have to ask your question about the clapper. We know they made clapper jokes in this movie.
It's 2009, and they lead with a clapper joke.
2009.
The clapper here, what I was impressed with, it was hooked up to Christmas lights. The dirtiest, most disgusting headboard. Again, it reminded me of every terrible Airbnb I've ever been
they
in.
They shot this.
I'll never forget the stains on that headboard as long as
they shot this in an abandoned hoarder's house.
So upset. And also, after seeing the grandma's house, which looked nice, why didn't they shoot the whole movie there?
Only could have one day.
Well, that's interesting.
That house that they lived in was so big.
Shithole.
What was, how
was
about this?
Shithole.
What was the little bridge over the moat in the front yard?
So
why
many
was
questions
there,
about that.
Why did this house have a
Show
moat?
Show it to us, too.
Answer
you
me, Chicago.
Show it.
Show it. Answer me, Chicago. Why did this house have a moat?
I'll show you something that I found in the house. Can you pull up the picture of the bookcase, bookcase one? Okay. So I was wondering, how did this guy have this money for this house? And I started to think about it, right? So there's a scene where the dog is looking at the owner. Bookcase one. We're going to pop up the picture of bookcase one.
I'm just now seeing Dean Cain and Joey Diaz. Oh, here
so
we
look,
go.
That's bookcase one, right? And I did a little zooming in. Go into bookcase two. Thoracic surgery.
What, by the way, it brings up such a good point, Paul. What is Bobo Kevin James's job?
The only answer I think is that the son is a thoracic surgeon. Because absolutely neither of those adults are thoracic surgeons.
For
the
sure.
Kid's a Doogie Howser. I don't know.
But isn't it interesting that the son is a thoracic surgeon, but the dog doesn't have a voice?
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That's really interesting.
All right, who raised their hand? I forgot. We got so lost. Okay, hi. Your name and your question.
Dave.
I'll hold the mic.
Do not be grabby, Dave.
I just want to talk about my favorite character, the cat lady.
Okay, Adrian.
I'm so glad you brought her up,
Adrian Barbeau.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
The craziest thing about the cat lady, in my opinion, is the fact that not only did she know the grandma at the very end of the movie, I think they had a little thing going. Like,
oh, I like this.
I
like this.
1,000%.
Do you mean the connection they made at the town's karaoke night where they duetted on Hava Nagila? What? I'm sorry. What?
This movie.
That's not a song that's available in a karaoke.
That's not your. I mean, come on. How many people here is their karaoke song? Is Hava Nagila?
All right. That was Usher. Now we got. Oh, who's up? Okay. We got Hava Nagila.
Paul and I, we watched the cat lady monologue, and it was the only point in the movie. There were two points in the movie where I connected. I dropped in. One was when one of our robbers, not Dean Cain, what's that actor's name again?
Joey Diaz.
Thank you.
Joey Diaz. Poco.
Yes. Diaz. When he started talking about basement fridges and what was in the basement fridge as opposed to a kitchen fridge, I was like, that's really funny and interesting. And then the other moment was Cat Lady's monologue.
Yeah.
And it was beautifully delivered.
It was heartbreaking.
It was heartbreaking.
The only reason her house isn't decorated is because she got too old to be able to do it herself.
Okay, but here's my question, though, Jason.
That was devastating.
But I did question it at the same time.
You think she's lying?
Well, while she's delivering, and again, she does it beautifully, and I loved everything about it. But while she's delivering that monologue, we can see behind her. Every inch of that wall is decorated.
Oh, I think she means the exterior.
Did mean the exterior, but I just felt like she could have done it. I'll say it.
Wow.
I felt like she could have done it.
So okay. Your note is, Adrian Barbeau, do the work.
Honestly, like, I don't want you to have this experience of being perceived as, like, a Christmas Grinch, but put some lights on your outside. Like, put a couple
Maybe
things out there.
Maybe sometimes it's not the actual note, but it's the note under the note. And, you know,
I feel
like that was what it was for her. You know, just don't, yeah, that's a good one. Thank you, June, for bringing that up. Do better, old lady whose husband died. All right, let's get back to the audience here. Okay, you're great. What's your name and your question?
Sean, cut this, please. So it seems like the option between their security is a dog or an alarm system. Either or. Why can't there be both?
Yeah. Well, it's a great question. I mean, Paul, I'll never forget, we did experience a series of break-ins, and we did speak to someone in law enforcement.
Didn't get a series of break-ins. There was a series of break-ins.
Well, no, our car was stolen from our driveway.
Well, our car was stolen from our
and
driveway
we didn't
because
notice
we left
for
the
a
keys
while.
Inside the car.
But that's not why. It just happened to happen that way, but that's
and
not
I
why.
And I say we... Your in car, the most general way.
Your car was donated from your driveway.
Just because
when
I let...
When you watch the security footage of this guy getting in our car and seeing the keys, he's like... It
he's
was like watching
like,
someone win the lotto.
Listen,
I was happy
just
for
him. Just because I left the keys in the car did not mean I was asking for it to be stolen.
The guy on camera is like, wait a minute, this is too good to be true.
His face lit up like a Christmas tree. And I will say it was the night after we got our Christmas tree. So there was a little bit of...
There was a lot happening while I was walking inside. And yes, I left the keys in the car.
Here's the thing that...
We were told by the police officer at that time, don't worry about alarms. The biggest deterrent is a dog.
Yeah, I think that's true. But I think for this family, they're missing out on, sir, a third option, which is drawbridge. They've got
which
a permanent...
They already have.
They've got a moat already there. They've got a permanent bridge. Huge mistake.
Pull it up.
Put in a drawbridge. Nobody's getting in.
It worked. Unless you have like a Trojan dog where it looks
Trojan
like a very...
Trojan dog. Right?
All right. Your name, your question.
My name is KR, and my question is, after they adopted Zeus, how did they get his canine plaques?
Okay. Good question.
I mean, all of it. How do they know his name is Zeus? Does Zeus have his own stuff with him wherever he goes? This makes no sense. The Zeus isn't...
I am up in the balcony.
Oh, God, be careful.
Once again, with our balcony monsters.
Give it up for the balcony!
And I will ask this. I said...
Chicago balcony, lawless.
I said to the audience at the top of the show, I said, is anyone here in costume? Okay, I'm going to you first. A reward costume.
Chicago balcony monsters, a.k.a. the All right. Untouchables.
You're in costume. You are. Okay, I love it. What is this costume?
I'm one of the robbers as their utility plumber outfits.
Fantastic.
Great work.
Fantastic.
Amazing. Okay. What's your name?
Sierra.
Sierra, and what is your question?
So I wanted to look up to see, because the music was so Home Alone-esque,
yes.
to see who the composer is, and that led me down to a rabbit hole. On Wikipedia, the music composer Andres Bolton has like a mixed filmography of being with dog Christmas movies and serial killer murder movies. Then I decided, who else is there? So the director, Michael Pfeiffer, I think, has a bunch of serial killer movies like Ed Gein, the BTK Killer, the Boston Strangler.
And, wow.
And more dog Christmas movies mixed in.
So basically he summers with a Christmas and he winters with a serial killer.
It continues. The cinematographer also has the setup of a mix of dog Christmas movies and murder serial killer movies and also early in his career porn films.
Which is kind of a mix of both, really, you know.
It's a classic one for me, one for them scenario.
And then both of them for me.
Yeah. And then them on me and me on them.
They apparently did like a bunch of the same movies together. But sure. The overall question that I have is, because of their filmography, is doing the Christmas dog movies as a way of trying to have like a enlightened, like a relief from all of the dark tension that they have for the serious movies? Or is it just another way of them to stall time and get a paycheck until they go back to their real passion of murders?
Wow. This is a great question.
Great. Great, great, great.
Sierra.
I mean, it seems like these guys, it's probably a group of folks who all work together and they just plug now in either dog Christmas movies or murder movies.
But I do believe that if you work this circuit, like this Lifetime Hallmark Channel circuit, it's like, we got to do one holiday and one killer. And it's like, we will cover it, we will get
You basically just described the Lifetime Network. Right?
June and I were watching, I think it was Killer Week. We were on tour. We were watching it every night. We came home and would watch two back-to-back serial killer movies. It was like The Homecoming Killer. Then it was like My Principal Killed the Homecoming Queen. And then afterwards it was like My Best Friend Was the Killing Homecoming Queen. It was like they all were tied loosely, but it was like, yeah, they have so many of them.
Oh, that is an industry that is almost bottomless. There was a period during the pandemic where I was recording two Magnum PIs and one Columbo a day. That's right, on my DVR.
Good old TiVo.
It's cool, I'm 50.
First of all, I just want to give a shout out to TiVo's, the original DVR.
The best.
I had
it's
a TiVo.
Always important to put some respect on their name.
Yeah.
I had a TiVo that I sent away so they could put an extra hard drive in it.
I did the same thing.
And I will tell you, Paul, I remember when Paul and I first started dating, I remember your apartment in New York, going there and seeing that you had TiVo and being like, wow. Like, wow. All right.
Oh.
I could have every episode of Buffy that I wanted at a moment's notice.
I mean, what a luxury. What a luxury to be like, you know, I've got 20 gigs of Preston Sturges movies on here.
Okay. I am admiring this gentleman's small notebook. It's a very tiny, it's a very tiny notebook.
Oh my gosh, it's so small.
Tiny notebook with a lot of notes.
Tiny notebook.
All right, so I'm predicting this to be good, but I don't want to put pressure on you. Your name and your question.
My name is Jamie. My question is, when we finally learn why the dog can't bark, it's told in a flashback. And then the evil cat lady responds to that flashback. So my question is,
can
the cat lady understand the dog?
Yes, they are having a conversation that is... that presumes she knows what the dog is saying. I wrote that down too, Jamie. I fully agree with you. And it is shocking that someone that far back in the balcony had a cogent thought. So I really want to give it up for Jamie. Everyone around him is passed out.
You know what? I can't beat that. I feel like we're just go downhill from here. All right. Obviously... people out there have questions. They have feelings. But you know what? Some people out there think this movie might be their favorite Christmas film. And we're going to hear from them right now, because now it's time for Second Opinions.
I'm Casey. This Christmas, I give it 5 stars. Ex-cop dog saved the day, 'cause crime doesn't pay. Big tears when Zeus barked out his fears. I give you my second opinion.
Whoa!
Great job.
Whoa. What a way to start.
So, a little anticlimactic with the second opinions, because there are only 360 total reviews. But... 75% are 5-star. Now, before I even read these, I will let you know there are multiple films in this franchise. Five films. The Dog Who Saved, and we're going to talk about that in a second, but some of these reference those. E. Dubiton, in 2019, wrote this. My daughter, 3, was obsessed with the dog that saved Halloween. We watched that nightmare of a movie hundreds of times.
Well, I mean, it is Halloween, so spooky, kind of a nightmare.
So you can imagine her excitement and my horror when she discovered that there were multiple movies, including this little gem. Bad acting, bad plot, bad everything. ... And your kids will absolutely love it. The title, A New Definition of Hate. The rating, 5 stars. Amazon customer in 2013 writes this. Title of review, Love Dogs. Cute to watch, but not into the talking animals. Five stars.
Wow.
Now, when we are at the bottom of the barrel of 5-star reviews, we go to 1-star reviews. These are first opinions. People who share the same opinion as some of us. Clifford Dawson writes...
Wait, now, is this Clifford the Big Red Dog? Because that is a
dog Dawson.
He was considered for the role and was passed on.
Now, this one, the reason why I read this is because I don't think you'll know where it's going. The title is, This May Be the Worst Christmas Movie Ever. He wrote this the year after it came out in 2010. Writing, terrible. Acting, even worse. Production values, cheap and cheesy. Animal voiceovers, sub-idiotic. This is what I get for letting the wife pick the film for the night. But she didn't even like it. The only question I had after the pain was over, aside from wanting the 90 minutes back, was how did such a deadhead family afford that house? The father didn't act like he could possibly do anything that would put him in that income bracket. Perhaps he earned it the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. Yet another argument for family planning. One star.
Oh, holy shit. Holy shit. That's, I mean, I agree with that review. Shockingly? Wow.
Oh, boy. So we did
Can
talk about...
Can you imagine just being fucking absolutely livid and jealous at the family in this movie?
That you
and
get
it's also
on.
Like, yeah, it's a lot of house, but every square foot is a shithole.
Yeah. I mean, please host a HGTV house show. Please.
It's a shithole.
Please. It's a... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Are you watching It's a Shithole with June Diane Raphael? I love that show. I love at the beginning of every episode where she walks through and tells everybody what a shithole they live in. And then at the end, it's so sweet. I cry every time because it's not a shithole anymore.
I'm going to... Just
the gate at the front, that
holy
gate,
shit. The fence, the gate, the moat, the bridge, every element of the house
so
genuinely felt like
me.
It had been dropped from another planet.
Yes.
Remember when they're driving in the car? I'm sorry, remember when they're driving in the car and the stone cold genius, Mindy Sterling, who we've mentioned before. Groundlings, incredible comedian. She's singing, she's annoying everybody in the car, and they're driving full speed, and the son tries to throw himself from the car.
And I have to
say,
do
you remember that part of the movie?
I do remember that part.
That's how I felt watching the whole movie.
We keep on talking throughout the movie, where they keep on referencing the grandma and how she has stale pretzels and like flat soda. We get to her house, I'm like, she seems like she's fun.
Oh, like, she's cool as hell. She's the only person in this movie I believe fucks.
I also believe they don't get her because they're not cool.
I know. I'm like, this lady is awesome.
Her and Adrian Barbeau are the most interesting characters in this movie. And I wish the family and the dog had all died in a carbon monoxide leak.
And by the way, just, you know, I know we're wrapping things up. I know you got your notes, Paul, but
I just have to say one more thing.
I have to say one more thing, because the decision on Christmas Eve, they established that grandma's house is hours away. Hours. Not 1 hour, and probably not two, but probably 2.5 to 3 hours away. And they decide on Christmas Eve to go back and get Zeus. And from what before they found out that like their house had been robbed, it seemed like they were gonna drive. They had already driven there. That's 3 hours. They were gonna drive back. That's another 3 hours. And then they were gonna drive back to grandma's house to just be with the dog.
Yes,
that's 9 hours of driving.
And honestly, nobody likes the dog that much.
And no one likes the grandma
confounded.
Even more.
And they
I was
get there.
Absolutely confounded.
They get there. Zeus has captured the criminals, and the police try and recruit Zeus. Because Zeus has done a better job than that town's police department.
And that was another moment where Paul and I were watching together. Sometimes we rely on each other to keep track of the plot. And I had zoned out for a second. I was just looking out the window or something. And I said, wait, what just happened? And Paul said, the police are trying to... He goes... The police are trying to adopt Zeus. And I was like, oh, okay.
Of course, but wouldn't it have been so much better if the police were like, Zeus?
Right.
Because he's a famous canine dog.
But not in
what
that.
What if they were like, Zeus, oh my God, where have you been?
And then they reveal this backstory that they didn't know, but yet they all know the backstory because the man who used to be a dog is now the owner of the pound.
Do you even believe that in this town, whatever town these people are in, that there is the need to... Okay, here's what it is. Here's what it is, and this is unexamined fully. Do dogs go undercover? I know police officers do, but are dogs... Do dogs have to have a cover identity?
Sometimes you'll see a dog with like a baseball cap on. You're like, cop. I see a dog with his hand, like his head out of a Crown Vic. I'm like, cop.
Yeah.
All right. Let me drop some stuff on you.
Stuff, not knowledge, but just stuff.
This movie premiered on ABC Family on November 29th, 2009, during their countdown to 25 Days of Christmas programming block. It was ranked as the number one cable program in its time slot and the number one cable film in the winter of 2009 with 4 million viewers. It was the cable's number one program during its period of 8 to 10 p.m. with 4 million viewers. It ranked number one in scripted telecasts on cable during that Sunday. It became the season's number one cable film.
Stop,
it had a 14.
What are you saying?
It had a 14% increase in viewers from the same time slot in the previous year. Okay, so
I can't imagine that is real. That's 4 million viewers for context. Like every episode of Mad Men got like 1.2 million viewers.
Yes.
Every episode of 30 Rock got like sub 1 million viewers. You're saying this had 4 million views.
The Dog Who Saved Christmas won several Yulees.
Ghoulies?
Yulees.
Ghoulies?
Yule, like Yule log, Yulees.
A loggy?
From the Entertainment Weekly's website. The categories it won included MVP, Most Valuable Pooch, and Best Use of Dean Cain.
Whoa.
You know what? I don't disagree with that one, actually.
Is that a category every year?
In the Yulees.
Every award show.
Whoa.
Best Use of Dean Cain.
It also was given...
What are you talking about? Absolutely. Okay, hang on a second. For real talk, if we had Dean Cain on the podcast, would we be eligible for a Yulee?
If we televised the show.
We'd have to televise the show?
Yes.
It's almost worth it. Right. I would love it if we won a Yulee, I would retire. And don't nominate us for a Yulee just to get me to retire.
I want to now open you up to one more thing. 5 sequels. Let me tell you what it is.
So this was the first.
First. The Dog
yep.
Who Saved Christmas. Sequel. The Dog Who Saved Christmas Vacation. Aired a year later. Then another sequel. The Dog Who Saved Halloween. September 2011. Third sequel. The Dog Who Saved the Holidays. 2012.
Wait a minute.
A fourth sequel. The Dog... Who Saved Easter? 5th sequel, The Dog Who Saved Summer, 2015.
Summer?
Yes. Now, I'm going to drop this knowledge on you.
Oh, God.
Gary Valentine was in everyone except for Easter.
Wait, who is Gary Valentine?
Kevin James' brother.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. I was like, well, who's that?
Dean Cain.
I would believe it if that was Zeus. Maybe Zeus's name is Gary Valentine. If I'm thinking about it, the dog is probably the most consistent performer. I would love it if the dog's name was Gary Valentine.
Gary Valentine on set. Gary Valentine.
There are only... Okay. I'm trying to figure out how to present this to you. One character, or I should say three characters that are in all the sequels.
Do we get to guess?
Yeah, sure.
Zeus?
Yes, but with a caveat.
Okay. It's not always the same dog.
No.
Oh.
Mario Lopez provides his voice for the first three films, drops out for two, then comes back for the final two.
Wow. He's like Vin Diesel.
He's the Vin Diesel of this franchise, where he's like, I'm too good for this. Wait a minute. It's a hit? I'm back, baby. But it's always Zeus, no matter the voice.
Joey Lawrence replaces him in Halloween and Holidays.
Whoa.
That is the third and fourth film. And then he comes back for Easter and Summer.
Wow.
Belinda Bannister. Okay, well, you guess.
Belinda?
Who is in all the movies?
My guess,
who's in
Paul,
all the movies?
Is Belinda Bannister.
Yes?
Something tells me it might be Belinda Bannister. Paul, that's my answer.
Okay, you would be correct. But here's the other ones that are in all the movies. Dean Cain.
By the way, thank God.
Joey Coco Diaz. And
one of the greats.
Mindy Sterling. They're in all. Gary Valentine is not in all. Dean Cain, Joey Coco Diaz, Mindy Sterling, and Elisa Donovan, who plays Belinda Bannister, is in all the films. Now, the kids change, like Griswolds.
I can see that.
Can I just show one more moment here? Scene 7, please. This is the most disturbing image I saw in the film.
Belinda always said to brush after every meal.
All right, yes, he's brushing. Got it.
That. This is the life. What happened when Santa Claus's
dog
cat swallowed sauna. All the yarn?
She dog is in the sauna. He put himself in the sauna.
Did he turn the sauna on?
He must have.
Come, Zeus. Drink from my well.
Oh, did I just, okay. Actually, I'm so
You're
glad we're showing this.
Crazy.
Yes, stop.
Because I understood, I guess, that the mice could talk, that all the other animals had a voice. But why did the toilet talk? That really fucked with me. Because don't raise your hand like you know why the toilet talked?
Hold on. What's her name?
And by the way, the way she's saying I know. Like, yeah, but it's also, there's a level of confidence that is unnerving.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hi. What's her name?
Rachel.
Rachel, and why does the toilet talk?
Okay, you're going to be embarrassed when you didn't think of this yourself. It's the dog voicing what he thinks the toilet is saying to him.
Okay.
Wait, but is the dog guessing what the mice are saying to him?
No, they're actual animals, so they can talk.
Right, it's like the way that we would talk to ourselves.
Rachel? Absolutely not. What?
I buy it, Rachel.
You think that's the dog projecting?
What are you saying? Wait,
I believe Rachel.
This guy's saying
something
over here. What are you saying? Wait.
Yes.
The toilet is sentient because the toilet has a POV shot. Now, Wait, you say it's a bidet. She says it's not
what?
A toilet, it's a bidet.
This woman is saying, the toilet's a bidet. The toilet's a bidet.
Okay, and this one is saying it's the furnace joke from Home Alone.
Oh, okay, that makes
sense. Well, there we go.
I love that at the end of the show, everybody's coming undone, trying to figure out why the fucking toilet talks in this absolute dog shit movie. We have suffered through this, and everybody's like, I'd love to make sense of the talking toilet, when in reality, this fever dream broke us all. And you're all going home to your kids, sending the sitter home, and are like, what the fuck just happened to us?
Well, people, we did it. We did the show. Thank you, Chicago! We will be back. Give it up for Jason Mantzoukas. Give it up for June Diane Raphael. I am Paul Scheer. Thank you so much. We love being here. We hated this movie. Good night, everybody.
Eat shit, Chicago.
Yes, the holiday season is here. As a matter of fact, I'm in a holiday movie right now. That's right. You can check me out in Family Switch on Netflix. It's a Jen Garner movie with Ed Helms. I'm in it. I play a dick. And you know what? It is really fun. Thank you to everyone in Chicago who made this such a great show. I mean, truly, we love doing shows in Chicago. Unfortunately, you'll never be able to hear one of the shows that we did in Chicago because the person who was tasked with recording it really messed up. And here's the thing. Everyone makes mistakes, but that person was a real dick about it. So Riviera Theater, A+, that dude. All right. Well, look, I know that you don't want to hear me complain about the guy who forgot to hit record on our first show in Chicago. But you're probably like, Paul, can I get a shirt that kind of embodies everything that we just talked about? Yeah, you can. We have an amazing shirt. It's basically the lead actor of this movie in a bathtub with a dog who's looking down at his dick. And there's nothing on it. No quote, no anything. It just says, Chicago, how did this get made? Because I couldn't put dog pervert on a shirt. I just couldn't. I felt like no one would buy it. Anyway, tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM. You can get that as a sticker and a laptop case, a mug, whatever you want. It's a great looking image. It's more questions than answers. You've already probably heard me plug our How Did This Get Made Ugly holiday sweater collection. There's still time to order one before the holidays. If you get your order in before December 10th, you will get your delivery before Christmas. These are great. We gave them out at these shows and people went bonkers for them. The Geostorm one is aces. All designs are available at podswag.com/bonkers. And you can also get some How Did This Get Made wrapping paper. That's right. All right, people, get ready, because next week is a special supersized last looks. That's right. We're going to be going over corrections and omissions from both Munchies and The Dog Who Saved Christmas. So if you have anything you want us to know about either movie, leave us a voicemail at 619-PAUL-ASK or write a comment on our Discord at discord.gg/HDTGM. And of course, as always, Jason will stop by Last Looks for a chat and we will announce our next movie. Remember, you can find us everywhere online. If you love the show, tell your friends. It really does help. I mean, that really is the best way to promote the podcast, word of mouth. Plus, it's more fun when you can watch these movies with people you know. And last but not least, I got to say thank you to all the listeners who support this show every week and our entire behind-the-scenes team who keep this show running. I'm talking about our producers, Scott Sonny, Molly Reynolds, Avril Halley, our engineers, Casey Holford and Rich Garcia, and our associate producer, Jess Cisneros, who makes those amazing social media videos. That's all I got, people. Bye for now.